Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
How many of you know the body of Christ should be ministering to the body of Christ? I mean, say amen to that.
Yeah.
Come on.
He asked for it, so I'm going to give it
Don't
to you.
Don't be shy. Come on. Give it to us, sister. So come on. Hallelujah.
One of the things that God's been speaking to me about, and he just, I'm just excited. I feel like breakdancing, if I remember how.
Hallelujah.
In Deuteronomy 28, God showed that to me.
Blessing.
And that Deuteronomy 28 has to do with blessings and disobedience.
Yes.
And the whole idea with that is in the scripture 46, it says that he's going to give you all the blessings. But if you don't listen and not obey what he's saying, that, you know, that things are not going to happen right for you. Things, you know, it's the idea that you have a, you do what God wants us to do, or we do what we want to do, and we have to live the consequences of our actions. So the whole idea is that we look at him and we are so grateful to him because of his blessings. In Deuteronomy 26, it says the whole idea of, he says, because you did not serve me, your God, with a joyful and glad heart. Now, how are we serving God? Are we doing it because we want to, or are we doing it because we have to? We can't look at the idea that we have to do it and then look at God and saying, oh, I did it. But if you are murmuring, just like the people in the desert coming out of Egypt, and all they did was murmur. And I think these last 2 years, that's all we've been doing is murmuring. And this year is a time to rejoice and to celebrate and to do it with a grateful heart. Because as he wants us, he says, I will do all things, but thank me. Don't plead. Stop pleading and asking me in the sense of, oh, please, Lord, do this for me. He's saying, don't do that. Start thanking me because you already have it. You already have what you need, but we need to start thanking. I remember a story of a woman that saying, oh, she was having a problem with her daughter and they weren't talking for 4 years. And she was pleading to God. And once she started thanking him that it was going to come to pass, that it was going to be good, all of a sudden now her and her daughter are rejoicing together. So that is only one example that God wants to show us. That's one example of the blessings that he has for us. Don't look at the circumstances. Look at his promises. Keep your eyes on him. Because when we keep our eyes on what the world's doing, we're going to be so unhappy. We're going to be, and he says, keep your eyes on me. And as we do that, we ask the Holy Spirit to show us and to guide us and to teach us. Jesus left, but he says, I'm not leaving you as orphans. I am leaving you the Holy Spirit. So hold on to the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and to show you and to teach you all things. Because as you do that, you're going to see the blessings in your life. You are going to see the blessings. And it's going to be, so this year, instead of going in with a war with me, he didn't become president, or the COVID and all this other stuff, stop looking at that and start looking at what God does and what he can do and what he has done in your life. We forget sometimes what he's done in our lives. And he says, oh, take that off the shelf and start looking at my goodness, because he loves you so much. He loves you and he wants to be there for you. But he can't be there if you're just like them coming out of Egypt. If you're murmuring, don't murmur anymore. Let's smile. Let's be happy. Let's have a grateful heart as we serve him, as we love him. It's not that we're doing it because we have to. We're doing it because he's a good God and he deserves it.
Glory.
The beginning of the COVID, God gave me a message to give to the church. Now, I shared it with some people at one of the Bible studies, but I like to share it with you guys because a lot of us were disappointed. So the Lord said to me, he says, I hear your prayers and I see your discouragement and disappointments and your frustration. He says, but you are citizens of heaven. And you're looking at the wrong thing. He says, I am doing a new thing in our country that's going to affect the entire world for generations to come. So set your mind on things above. And do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You are citizens of heaven. Your citizenship isn't down here. You know how you become a citizen? You got to be born into it. We are all born into the citizen of heaven. These things that are happening around us do not apply to us. We are affected by it. If you turn on your TV and you spend most of your time dwelling on the worldly things and the subjects of this world, you're going to be affected. You're going to get depressed. But if you meditate on his word, like Psalm 100, it says, oh, my people, oh, my children, rejoice in me. You are my children.
Amen.
Serve me with gladness of heart. That's our first mistake, okay? We're not doing that, see? Because we let the things of the world influence us. And then he says, for I am a good God. Come into my presence with singing. When you're doing your housework, sing up a storm. Sing praises to him. You can be singing all day long. He says, pray without ceasing. That means that he is in your thought 24/7, not just an hour on Sunday. If that's the case, then you need some reconstruction here. We need some.
Yeah, some light.
Oh, yeah. We need to light that fire.
Amen.
You know, fan that fire.
Oh.
Isn't that what Paul said? Fan it. In other words, motivate yourself in praying in tongues. When you're praying in tongues, guess what? You're bypassing Satan. He don't know what you're praying for. And you get a direct line, a 1-800 number directly to God. Praise God. You know, that's where you ought to be spending your time. With that 1-800 number, right? He says he's a good God. Then he says, don't you know? You are seated in heavenly places with me. Oh, man. Now dwell on that for a minute. If you're seated in heavenly places with him, is he sick right now?
No.
Well, then neither are you.
Amen.
Your position is with him. You are in an elevated position. You fight the battles from up here, not down here.
Bam.
But you got to think about that because the enemy's always
talking.
He's a taunter, he is. He just, you know, he waits till you're tired and then he jabs a little bit. But you gotta be stronger than him. Because you are a superhuman. Don't you ever say you're human. Because when you got born again, you ain't human. You're a superhuman. The Holy Spirit is living in you. Your old self died, and you are a new creation in him. And if you're a new creation in him, guess what? You never before existed. So your old problem, stop looking back. That's our other problem, by the way. We're always looking back.
Nope.
Never look back. You're a new creation in Christ, and you will succeed, and you have a heavenly bank account that you need to learn how to draw from. Now, faith is what you can't see. If you can see it, then you ain't practicing faith. So when you get up in the morning, you got a little pain. You look in the mirror and you say, pain, you don't belong in this body. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. But pain is good. It tells you what area of your body to take authority over. So you're feeling a little influenza. You say, The Bible says no weapons formed against me can prosper. Therefore, I am a new creation in Christ. You talk yourself into the heavenly realm. And I guarantee you, God will back you up. Because he says you're his child. Now, what parent would give his child a disease? Huh? Come on now. If we who are sinners know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does God really want to give to you? Amen. Come on now. What do you think? Amen. Huh? So disease, you're like a bug zapper. When the bug comes by you, zap it. When that symptoms come in, zap it. Why? Because that's what you are. Amen. That's what God said you are. Dwell on what God said who you are. And stop looking back to Egypt. Stop looking back and listening to the negative news. You are not a child of this world. We are meant to be here to carry out God's word. He said we were chosen. Think about this. You were chosen. Ooh. Chosen. I mean, just. He chose you when you were in your filth. Come on now. He chose me when I didn't even know he was there. And he picked me up and he made me brand new. Whoa. Come on now. Dwell on that today. He says, dwell on all the promises that God has made you. You know how many promises he's made you? Not only you, but regarding your family and your children. I stand on every one of them. I don't look if my children are not serving God. I say, well, their story was written before they were born. And I'm going to trust God. Because in his word, he says, all of my children shall be taught by him, and great shall be their peace. Oh, I stand on that word. The other word he says is that he will bring them in from the land of the enemy into his borders, and he will fight the battle for them. Amen to that. I'll tell you, all your children, you're going to take with you. Don't look at what they're doing, but start declaring what you want them to do. Don't speak what they are. If they're on drugs, don't say that. Say, my child, everywhere that he ever heard in church is going to rise up inside of him and take authority. You've got to believe that. Because your faith is not what you see with your eyes. It's what you don't see with your eyes. The devil will rub it in your face. And you say, I know my children are all going to be saved and be with me. And they're all going to be, because just like Noah saved his entire family in the ark, your ark is your family. Amen. And God's going to make that provision. He's a wonderful God. You need to plug in, and let the Holy Spirit, let us be children that walk in the Spirit and not in the carnal flesh. Got it? Amen? I got more to say, but I'll wait till later. There's a lot more that you need to learn.
go.
I don't have as much to say, but I can't beat that. No, just something that was put on my heart a little bit ago. We sang the song, and it said, "Come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit." And I hope you know that there are some that are saying, "Come," but I hope you know that you already have him in here.
That's right. Amen.
The Holy Spirit, Jesus, it's here within us. And just as Carmen said, you know, it's there for us to. He wants to get out. He doesn't want to just sit there and be comfortable. Okay, he wants to be out and minister. And the thing is that already you have the counselor within you. You have the comforter within you. So all those things that that Jesus left when he left us the Holy Spirit, just so you know that you don't have to call for him to come because it's already here. And we have the fullness of Jesus. We just don't have a portion. When we said yes to Jesus, we got everything that he had. And so, as the word says, as he is, so are we. So all that Jesus was, like I said, sometimes we think about we always look at that mustard seed faith. You know that Jesus never had a mustard seed faith. He had all the faith we could ever imagine. And so we have that too. If we truly believe that Jesus is within us, that Holy Spirit is within us, we have all the faith that we would ever need if we would just believe. If we would just trust that when we speak something or when we envision something, that he gives us something to envision, that it is going to happen. Jesus never had a doubt. When he went out to minister to somebody, he wasn't thinking, well, I hope this works. You know, it wasn't like that. You know, he was already prepared. He had already listened to what the Father was saying for that time. And he knew that when he walked away, it was done. It was done prior to that, but the natural world would see it done at that moment. In Jesus' eyes, it was done before he ever walked into that situation. So why can't we do that?
We can.
Amen. We can do that. And so I'm just saying, whatever you need, it's already here. It's already there. If we would just not keep it locked up. Let it rip.
Yes, sir.
This is just one of the poems I wrote recently, and it kind of ties in, I hope. Do you know who you are? You're a child of the King. Do you know of your strength and the goodness you bring? That one day in his presence, we will all sing as we witness our King, usher in his kingdom, and to earth he will bring all of the saints gone before us with our Savior, our King. So bow down and worship, bring praise to his name. For he loves us and waits for us to heal the lame, to strengthen our brothers, so we will all claim to be part of his bride. For he's always beside and within and above. Yes, he's part of us now. We're all part of his love.
Amen.
The Lord's been speaking to me this morning, and he says, I present to you an open door. Please come through the door, my children. Come through the door and dine with me. Sup with me. Come to the door and let me refresh you with the Holy Spirit. Come through the door and let me speak to you. Let me guide you and direct you. This is the time. This is the time. To come out, go out and proclaim the word of the Lord to all the earth. This is the time to be with me. This is the time to let me fill you and infill you, that you would dine with me, in me, and through me. Come through the door, my children. Come through the door. Thank you.
There we go. There we go. Wow, some great testimonies this morning. Hard to follow. But I heard, I actually had a sobering thought or saw something that gave me a pause this week. And it kind of applies, it might resonate with some of y'all out there that are a little more seasoned, like me. If you think about it, from 1970 to today, 2022, is the same number of years from 1970 to 1918. Think about it. It's a while, right? And I paused. But you know what? This is what I know. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And will never change. That got me to thinking about my second birthday, which was many, many years ago. My wife and I accepted the Lord at the same time. He's what saved our marriage, there's no doubt. But right after we became Christians, Lori was giving her testimony to a friend of hers who lived across the street. And she gave her testimony, and she gave her testimony, and she gave her testimony. You know how that is when you're on fire.
Yeah, yes, sir.
So finally, that young lady across the street said, "Listen, I've had enough. God loves me just as much as he loves you." So that kind of took her back a little bit. But you know what? Think about it. That's the truth. God did and does love her as much as he loves anybody else. Because God doesn't have any favorites. We are all his children. So it's not a matter of God loving her more than me or vice versa. That's not the question. It's not a matter about how much God loves us. The question is, how much do we love God? How much do we love the Lord? Jesus said, "If you love me, you will follow my commands." And we've heard a lot of messages this morning about what he has in store for us. And it's there. It's there. If you love me, you will follow my commands. We need to take that step. We need to take that step. Praise God.
Come on, man. Hallelujah. Is God good? Amen. Thank you all. Hallelujah. Look forward to hearing you guys talk. Is that okay? And you know, you got to hear me almost every Sunday. So I look forward to listening to all of y'all. Is that okay? Come on. I pick up stuff too. I'm still hungry. How many of you say amen? I'm still hungry for the things of God. I'm still looking. I don't know. I don't think I've arrived. How many? So I know some of you arrived already, but I've not arrived yet. I need more and more every time. How many say amen to that? Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, and I like a little more volume if you're going to play. Come on, Ruth. Yeah. Hallelujah. Put a little more volume in that That's thing, man. Good. Hey, right. Glory to God. How many of you know that sometimes when you're looking in the Word of God, sometimes things are hard to understand? Anybody say amen to that? Amen. I mean, how many of you have read the book of Revelation? Amen. Praise God. I love the book. I love to read it. And trouble is, it puts me off into all these dimensions. I got no idea where I'm at anymore. You know, but I know that God, when he's ready, he's going to reveal those things that we're looking at, because God has a purpose and a plan and a time and a season for all of our lives. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Praise God. I say that a lot. I say, how many say amen to that? How many say amen to that? I was listening to my message the other day. How many say amen to that? How many say amen to that? I must have said it 100 times. I don't know how many times.
Amen.
But sometimes it's an agreement that you say, yeah, that's a good word. Is that okay? How many say amen? No. Come on, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. All I know is that you know, if we're going to learn anything about the kingdom of God, can I tell you the kingdom of God is huge?
Yeah.
Can I say that to you?
Yes.
Can I tell you, we cannot compare anything to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We might try to compare men's kingdoms, but there is no comparison when it comes to God's kingdom. It's past our imagination. It's eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has for his children. And that kingdom is a huge kingdom. We just seen little trickles of what it's like. Rills is what I like. Yeah, I mean, you know what a rill is?
Speak it.
How many know what a rill is?
Yeah.
A rill is a little tiny stream. The Lord said that to me one night. I was reading the word, and he says, it's going to come in rills. It'll come in rills. I go, rills? What's that? Real? R-E-A-L? No, it's R-I-L-L. Looked it up, and you're going to see it's a little tiny stream. It is a little bit, and a little, but then I'll tell you what, after a while, that stream begins to grow. How many say amen? The more you hear God, the more you listen to the word of God, the more you go after God, the more you worship God, the more God begins to add unto you in a way that sometimes you don't even understand. Sometimes it's not too clear what God is saying to you. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, man.
Amen.
Message today is called Clear as Mud.
Amen.
Come on. Clear as mud. How many everybody say clear as mud?
Clear as mud.
Yeah, man, yeah. How many like that? Oh, I like that. You know, last week we did Eat Fresh. That was last week. Praise God. We're talking about the Subway commercial. Eat Fresh. How many of you know you got to eat every day? How many of you like to eat? You love to eat. We love to eat. Randy might even have food on Wednesday. Praise God for the Bible study. I love to eat. But Lord, when I'm eating, I want fresh food. How many say amen to that? How many want fresh bread out of the ovens of heaven? Smells good, looks good, tastes good. How many say amen to that? Come on. Woo, come on. But today we're going to talk about the clarity of who Jesus is. How many of you know if you're going to think about the kingdom of God, you have to look at the king. Everything that he does, everything that he says is kingdom based. Do you know that? Everything that he does. That's why one of the first things he said, he goes, the kingdom of God is at hand. Where? How? Him. The kingdom of God. He's the only one that's seen God. How many of you know that? He said, I'm the only one. He goes, I'm the only one that's seen him. And you're looking at me, and I will show you what the Father is like if you continue to look at me. So that's why somebody asked me one day, man, you know what? Why don't you read out of the other parts of it? I do read out of the other parts of the Bible. But I will bring Jesus every Sunday. How many say amen?
Amen.
You got to have Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the only answer. Hallelujah. You got to look at him. And then you can look around. How many say amen? So if you will, let's go to John chapter 9. Hallelujah. I've been in the book of John lately. And the gospel of John is probably my favorite gospel. Amen, John? Pastor John? John says, man, yeah. John says he wrote it. Come on. Hallelujah. Yeah, the apostle John said he wrote it. I didn't say Pastor John. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would open your word to our hearts. Father, what you're doing today, Lord, is what we are looking at, Father. We want to see what you're doing today. Your word says to ask you, and you will show us things to come. Amen. Today. So, Lord, we're asking you today, show us things we've never seen. We ask you for it, and we give you all praise and glory and honor, Lord. We honor you, we honor you, we honor you.
Yes,
if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. John chapter 9. We're going to start at verse 1. And I like to read so you guys, I don't have to preach as much if I read a lot. Is that okay? Praise God. Guys said, oh, man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So here it comes. John chapter 9, starting at verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Good question. Amen. I mean, you know that God, life is filled with questions. Amen?
Yeah.
These guys are asking Jesus a question. That is the only place you want to go to ask a question.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go to Jesus. I mean, if you got a question, ask him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I can't hear that guitar, bro. I can't hear that. Come on. Hallelujah. There you go. Praise God. It says this. Jesus answers that neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. Then he says a very important thing. He says, verse 5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Uh-uh. How many of you know that Jesus is in the world today?
Amen.
Just like Pastor John was saying, hey, we don't got to say, hey, man, Jesus, Father, come down, Holy Spirit, come down. Hey, he's in you. Amen. If you've given your heart to the Lord, you've been born again. Guess what? He dwells within you. Hallelujah. You don't have to coax him to be with you. He says, I will be with you always. What are you talking about? I say, so when I hear certain songs, I'm always saying, Lord, rise up. Lord, rise up. Rise up from where? Rise up from within me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers. Rivers of living water. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on. I get out of track real quick, so pardon me. It says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation the word sent. Everybody say sent.
Sent.
He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, well, he's like him. But he said, it's me. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, some people say, well, he's different. Why? Because he's looking around. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah, there's a difference in that boy right there. He looks like the guy was begging, the blind beggar, but there's a difference. He is now seeing. Is that right? And he says, finally, he goes, hey, it's me, man. Hallelujah. Probably don't know who they are. Is that right? Yep. Never seen him before in his life. Can you position yourself in that? Can you say, just think about it. Think about what he was. This guy was just as new at this as anybody else around him. The Pharisees that were accusing him and stuff. Hey, but we're going to read that. It says here, the neighbors, where am I? Verse 10. Therefore, they said unto him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, well, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was a Sabbath day, and Jesus made clay and opened. And it was a Sabbath day that when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. How many of you know that's a bad deal for the Pharisees? Like I've said in the last few sermons, Jesus is kicking at the foundation that they built. It's a man-made foundation. And Jesus says, I'm going to kick this thing. I'm going to kick it because the only foundation is the foundation that God lays. How many say amen?
Amen.
That's the only foundation. So here he goes. So he healed them on the Sabbath day. I lost my place.
No, you didn't.
14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not of God because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Here you go. Man's made opinions. Amen? But can I tell you, a miracle will talk a lot louder than man-made opinions. Let me say, come on, man. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And they said to the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? That he has opened thy eyes, and he said, he's a prophet. Ooh, can I tell you, the Jews didn't like that. Those Pharisees said, no. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, hey, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, for he shall speak for himself. The word of God says this, that these words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that Jesus was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know that sometimes because of what you believe, people are going to put you out? Is that okay? Does that hurt your feelings? Come on, man. Don't let your feelings get hurt. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know why? Shouldn't let your feelings get hurt? Because you're dead. You died with Christ. When he paid for your sins, you died with him. So why should you let anybody talk you out or call you back up out of the grave so you can hurt your feelings? Amen. Hallelujah. People will hurt your feelings. Is that okay? People are people. Christians are Christians. Sometimes they hurt your feelings. Is that okay? Yeah. It's absolutely okay. Hallelujah. Sometimes we don't know why people say the things they do, but sometimes they say things, sometimes they hurt. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah. But let me just remind you, folks, you're dead. You died with Christ, and now you've been risen. You've been resurrected by the Spirit of God. You are a new creation, is what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Is that okay? So don't let yourself get offended. Hallelujah. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age. Ask him. And then again they called the man that was blind. They're asking this guy over and over. How many say amen? Amen. He said unto them, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Yeah, come on. Will that shut down that conversation? Yeah, well, I don't know, but I see now. Yeah, well, he's a sinner. Well, I don't know about that, but I see. I can see you saying what you're saying, and it don't make sense. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he your eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Oh, boy. Here we go. We know that God spoke unto Moses, but as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing. Here's this guy that's been blind. Confronting these Jews, he said, herein is a marvelous thing. You know that you know not from whence he is, and yet he's opened my eyes. Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him will he hear. Amen. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Come on. I mean, just by a miracle, this guy is, he's shutting these guys down. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
There's only one thing they can do with this guy. Hallelujah. They answered and said to him, you are altogether born in sins. Oh, here we go. I mean, yeah, hey, bring up the dirt, whatever it is. You were altogether born in sins, and do you teach us? And they cast them out. Only one thing to do with them, get rid of them. How many say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Hallelujah. How many say amen to that?
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to read this as the last verse. Verse 39, he says, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Praise God. How important is seeing?
Very.
How important is vision? Is it very important? Yeah. Most of you wouldn't be able to walk out of here today if all of a sudden you, boom, everybody couldn't see. I said, all right, go home. There'd be this massive confusion and you could. How many know that it takes light to see anything?
Yep.
Does anybody go spelunking? Terry? Spelunking, is that the word you say it? Spelunking?
Yes.
Anybody else like to go spelunking?
What's spelunking?
Spelunking is cave. Cave diving. No, cave exploring. Go and explore a cave. I mean, And Terry, can you tell me, if you shut off your flashlight, is it dark in there? Absolutely. You can't even see. There's no, I mean, darkness is the absence of light. How many say amen to that? Amen. Yeah, come on. That's what, it's not hard to figure that out today, is it? The Word of God says this. Proverbs chapter 29:18, the Word of God says this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Where there's no vision, the people perish. How many know you got to have vision? And I'm going to tell you something. Today, I'm going to share with you a little bit of the vision that this church is under. Is that okay? Yes. It's important that you know the vision that God has placed upon me as to be the pastor of this church, so that you don't take on my vision, but you allow God to give you vision to connect to the vision. Is that okay? Do you understand that? Because every one of us has got to have vision. How many say that? Amen. Can I tell you something? The Word of God says that this man was born blind. How many say amen? There's that question again. How many say amen? How many say amen? How many say amen? Sorry, it's just a habit. Can I tell you something? Let me just say this to me. But every one of us in the house was born blind. I was born blind. How many know that? You guys, we're all born blind. We're all blind. And it takes God. I mean, you know, Jesus has to come and give you light so that you're no longer blind. How many, you understand that? Amen. That's why he said, I have come, that those that cannot see might see. Amen. And the ones that proclaim to see, they can't see. Can I tell you, there's a lot of folks out there that just can't see the things we're talking about. They've got no understanding where we're standing. I know. They think we're nuts.
That's okay.
I love it.
I love
it. I love it. I love it when they say, hey, you're nuts, man. You're crazy. Hey, orale ese, you're crazy. All right, where's Jason? I can't do it like his dad. Praise God. Are you crazy, man?
Right.
I like being that way. You know why? Because I got a big God that backs me up.
Amen.
He says, yeah, that's my people. Those are my kids. They look crazy. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. We jump when they're singing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hey, but you know, you can go to a rock concert. You'll see people jumping and everything.
Oh, yeah.
You'll see people going crazy. Is that right?
Amen.
Come on, you guys can release a little bit of stuff in the house of God. Come on, man. Isn't that right, brother?
Speak it, brother.
Yeah, hallelujah. Come
Amen.
On. Glory to God.
Yes.
Psalm 119, this is our power verse. Psalm 119, 130 says this.
Yes.
The entrance of thy words give light and gives understanding to the simple. Amen?
Amen.
Folks, I'm about as simple as you can get. Amen? Everybody goes, yeah, you are. Yeah, come on, man. And I appreciate that. Yeah, hallelujah. I don't claim to be anything that God hasn't made me. But I do know that I need to speak the things that God has told me about who I am. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I can't live my life on what I understand about myself. Is that okay? I'm going to say this to you. Some of you out there, you're living your life about what you understand about yourself, and you can't do that. Because God says so much more about you than what you can even fathom. Can you understand that? He is trying to get you to hear what he's saying about who you are with his spirit that dwells in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The more ground you give him, the more like Jesus you look. Is that right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. John chapter 1 verse 4 says this. John chapter 4, verse 1 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Hallelujah. How many of you know the Word of God says that you must be born again to even see the kingdom of God? Do you know that? Amen. Jesus told Nicodemus that. You got to be born again. You must be born again. Born. How do you get born again? You get born again by the Spirit of God that comes to speak to you. He draws you by his grace. I'm going to say grace is divine influence upon your heart and is reflection upon your life. That's what grace is. That's what the word charis means. It's his influence on you. See, you're saved by grace. The grace of God came to you by the Holy Spirit when you were yet in sin. How many of you remember that? When you were yet, well, that when you were blind and you thought you knew it all. Remember that? You thought you knew it all. But all of a sudden, he comes to you and he begins to draw on you and pull you into Christ, pull you into Jesus. Amen? That's a good deal. That's a good deal. Glory to God. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That's the light that we need. How many know that God, the word of God says that God will light your candle? Is that right? He does that with his Bic lighter, right? No, that's not how he's going to do it. He does it with the Spirit of God speaking to you the things of God. You get convicted. You say, man, I'm doing wrong. Yeah, God, I'm sorry. That's called repentance. And you quit doing what you're doing. Can I tell you, we got to learn to quit doing the things that are contrary to God. Can I say that to you? Because God has so much more for you. Hallelujah. You're going to be surprised at what he'll do with you and through you. If you just quit doing your own thing, allow him to do his thing through you. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's a big deal. It's a big deal with God. Obedience is a big deal with God. Hallelujah. You got to understand that. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Darkness. I put down a couple of scriptures. Jeremiah 3:16. Look at this. It says this. Give glory to the Lord your God. How many say amen?
Amen.
Come on. Give amen. Glory to the Lord your God. Before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble in the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. How many say gross darkness? Hey, say gross darkness. Can I tell you, a lot of the world right now is walking in a gross darkness. It's Amen. Getting worse and worse. Amen. But the word of God says that the darker it gets, the lighter.
Hallelujah.
Lighter of the kingdom. The light of the kingdom begins to turn on. How many say amen to that? How many just say this to you? God's not going to allow this planet to be destroyed. He is going to turn the kingdom on, and you're going to see things you've never seen before. And that's crazy. That's cool. You know, it's important that we have vision. Is that right? Vision, vision, vision. Everybody say vision. You got to have a vision. That's why, let me just say to every one of you in particular, if you don't know what your vision is, go to God and ask him. God, give me a vision. Show me what I was a youth pastor at the Assembly of God, and I would go to the, and you guys, a lot of you heard this, but I'd gone to youth leaders and youth pastors school up in Phoenix at Tommy Barnett's church. And while we're there, one of the brothers was speaking to us. He says, he gave us the word that says, without a vision, the people perish. And I go, and I knew, can I tell you, you know when you don't have a vision, is that right? How many of you know that?
Hallelujah.
So they put us in a little 5-man group, you know, and they said, all right, tell us your vision. So there, one guy, oh, yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that, you know. And I'm thinking, God, I don't got no vision. So when they got to me, what's your vision? I said, well, I want to see all the kids in my high school saved. That was my vision. And that's a good vision, amen?
Yeah.
But that wasn't my vision. That wasn't his vision. That was my vision. Can I tell you, every one of us got to have a vision that God places within you. Can I tell you, the vision is already there. You just need to get a hold of it. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Amen.
You're never too old. You're never too young to understand the vision that God has for you. Is that okay? So it seemed like every time we go up there,
amen.
Yeah, I like that, bro. Come on, man. Sometimes, I mean, we would go. Every 6 months, we'd go to the school. Rosie and I would go to the school. And it seemed like for 3 months in a row, or three trips in a row, they said the same thing. You got to have vision. You got to have vision. And it drove me crazy. I said, God, and so I started telling the Lord, God, I got to have a vision. I got to have a vision. Got to have a vision, Lord. You got to give me a vision. I started fasting. I was praying. I was doing everything that I, God, gotta give me a vision. You gotta give me a vision. And I said this to God. I was up at work and I was working in a compressor room, which is super loud. You can scream as loud as you want. If I was to get hurt in there, nobody would know until 3 days later when they went looking for me. But I was in there and I'm crying out to God, God, you got to give me a vision. You got to show me what you have for me. Because the word says, the word of God says, if the blind, we're talking about vision, the blind lead the blind, where do they fall? They all fall in the ditch. And I said, God, I don't want to take a bunch of young people into the ditch with me. So if you will not give me a vision, I'm going to quit. I'm telling God, right? God, yeah, well. So I said, Lord, I can't do this. So I'm crying out to him. And I said Amen. That again, Lord, without a vision, the people perish. And the Holy Spirit said something to me. He said, read the rest of the verse. And the rest of the verse says, but he, whosoever keeps the law, happy is he. Amen. See, because I was not too happy, and God knew it.
Amen.
So all of a sudden, I thought, keeps the law? Only Jesus can keep the law. Only Jesus can keep the law, Lord. And then all this, it's almost like all these scriptures about Jesus and what he was doing, scriptures like today, what he was doing and how he was doing began to hit my heart. And I go, hey, I got a vision.
Amen.
My vision is Jesus. I went over and I told my pastor, and I go, hey, Pastor Dave, yeah, God gave me a vision. He said, is that right? Yeah. And he goes, I go, my vision is Jesus. He looked at me, he goes, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah, that's good. Good. And I could tell it felt weird, and it felt weird to me too. I go, man, I don't get it either. Clear as mud. Amen?
Amen.
Clear as mud.
Amen.
Well, the next week I was cleaning out. I'm happy. I'm now, instead of calling out and begging God and saying, God, you gotta give me a vision and everything. See, the vision was already within me. I just didn't know where it was at. Didn't know how to find it, but I found it. I'm cleaning, I'm changing the oil in this machine, and I look up and there's a wall that's got all this plumbing on it. It's got electrical conduit on it. It's got water piping on it. It's got air piping from the machine going out. All this wall, it had all that stuff. But as I'm changing the oil, I'm putting the filter back, I look up and that wall was completely blank. It looked like somebody had just sheetrocked it. I'm looking like, what happened? There's even a big fan in there that would blow the hot air out of the building. It was gone. And I'm looking, I go, when did they do that?
Amen.
I began to see something. What I saw was this little picture here. I saw this, what looked like a lake. And I'm just standing there looking, and all of a sudden, the next thing, I see this pipe kind of running out of this thing. It looks like a half pipe, if you will. So this is running out of the lake. And as I'm looking at this, I remembered a scripture that God had been dealing with me about, but I didn't know what he was saying to me. It's clear as mud, okay? Because for every time I passed by this scripture in my, because I still try to read the Word of God once a year, all the way through. Still try to do that. I feed. The only thing to do is feed. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
You are what you eat. Amen? Hallelujah. If you eat a lot of the Word of God, guess what's going to happen? Oh, come on. The strength of God comes in. But anyway, and there was a scripture in Isaiah chapter 7. And it said this. It says, the prophet tells a young man to go and stand at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field and say, so here's this vision I'm seeing. It's, look, I'm, Terry and I are going to try to work on this thing so it looks a little better, but this is okay. This kind of gets the point across. Is that okay? There's this upper pool, and there was this pipe. And then it was a man standing at the end of that pipe. And all of a sudden, the water began to move. And the water began to flow down that pipe towards that man. And what in my vision that I'm looking at on this wall, that conduit is hitting him right kind of in the back. Maybe heart level, if you will. Amen?
Amen.
And it hit him. And when it got to him, it started circulating within him. And then he opened his mouth and began to speak. And there was these two fields. There was a field on each side, and there was a road going down the middle. And that water just began to sprinkle on those fields, and things just started growing, just growing, growing, growing. Folks, this is the vision this house is under. Amen. You got to understand what vision I have so you can see how to connect vision. Amen? Amen. Because God has placed a vision in every one of you. Amen. So you see, I was asking God for a vision. And I thought it was Jesus, which it is. Amen. But he had something more for me. He had this for me. He said this, when I saw this, I'm looking, by this time I'm crying. I understood that the vision was coming out of the Word of God. Folks, everything you got's got to come out of that Word. Amen. Everything that is spiritual in your life has to be founded in the Word of God. Amen. And I'm looking at it. I'm weeping. And the Lord said this to me, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and with all doctrine. And I'm, oh, Lord. See, he not only gave me a vision, but he gave me a word for my vision.
Huh. The word was stalking.
Come on, man. Ooh, I'll tell you what. I could not believe what I was hearing and what I was seeing. I went and I told my pastor, I said, Pastor, God gave me a vision. He goes, another one? I go, yeah, yeah. But this one, and I told him about it. And he looked at me, he goes, okay. Praise God. Can I tell you something? Sometimes you're going to catch a vision. You're going to have a vision. People might not understand it. Is that okay? Let me just say this to you. You didn't understand it before you got it. What makes you think that they're going to understand it if you just talk to them about it? Amen. So what I began to do at that time, I began, we called it the upper pool. Hey, I applied my vision. Yes. Our youth group was meeting upstairs up there. So we got, hey, perfect. This is called the upper pool. Where's Micaiah? She's gone. This upper pool vision, I applied it there. But see, it wasn't mine to apply. You see, Habakkuk, we were sitting down at Denny's. Isn't that right, Tommy? We were sitting at Denny's, and the Lord gave me a word while we were sitting there. He says this, the vision, Henry, the vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it will surely come. Amen. What I didn't know, the vision was for this house. Amen. This house, I mean, I've asked God, God, show me. What do you want me to do? We start hospital here. What do you want us to do? Everything that we do, I know, is going to be based off of that vision. It's going to be building the body of Christ, speaking words over people to build them. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to build one another by speaking words over you. Fairly easy. Ooh. Come on. You know what I like about today's story? The pool of Siloam. What does Siloam mean? Huh? Sent. The word for Siloam means sent. It's a strange word for a name, to name a pool, isn't it? It's kind of a crazy thing. Is that what? Why did they? Yeah, kind of crazy. Well, what do you mean by that? I'll tell you, in the days of Hezekiah, that's when that vision where he says, go and stand at the end of the conduit of the upper pool. Do you know where that conduit, the end of that conduit was? The end of that conduit was Siloam. Amen. It wasn't discovered till 2004 that there was a lower pool. You see, Hezekiah built a pool, and it was from the stream. I wrote it down. It was from the Gihon Spring. Hezekiah knew that Jerusalem needed water. Hezekiah knew that it was possible that their enemies would surround the city and they would cut off the water. So he built a conduit from the Gihon Spring into Jerusalem that brought water into the southeast corner of Jerusalem behind the wall. That is where Jesus sent him. You see, the water from that pool was sent into Jerusalem. Can I tell you something? We are conduits of the Word of God the water of life that God wants to send into the lives of other people. So, hey, let me just get this. Get this. You are what God has created you to be. I mean, just continue to go after him and watch what he does in your life. Because this is what, watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Here's Isaiah 60, verse 2. It says this. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth. How many say, okay? You don't have to say amen to that. Just say, okay. Darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. He says, but the Lord shall arise upon who? Upon you. And his glory shall be seen in you. I don't know if you've got a vision for this, but I do. I've got a vision for that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. How many of you got a vision for that? But I've got a vision that the Word of God says, my glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. I got a vision for that. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm going to do. You know what? I don't care if there's three people here. We're going to feed and we're going to water till those three people feed and water and feed and water, because we're going to see an outbreak, an unusual watering event in this city. Unusual. Hallelujah. You can't go by what you've seen. You can't tell what the kingdom of God is like. You've got no idea. You might think you got an idea. Oh, I got an idea what it's like. You don't either. Come on, man. If you did, you'd see that Jesus is the king and he is the only answer of that kingdom. And that is why in that, what he does, why aren't we doing it? Because we're not walking the way we need to be walking, folks. We need to find what he's saying to us and say, God, what have you got for me? Give me my vision. See, I'm walking in my vision. How many say amen to that? Amen. I'm walking in it, but what are you doing? Come on. Hallelujah. You got to walk in your vision. Well, I don't know my vision. Well, go after it. Right. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Haraki Sunday. Problem with today's world, there's nobody pleading for the truth. Isaiah 59, 4. I'm going to tell you something. Isaiah 59 delivers a hard blow. If you get a chance, go home and read the whole chapter. See if you can find yourself in there. If you do, say, God, fall on your face and say, God, I repent. But Isaiah 59, this verse 4 says, none calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity and they speak lies. Hallelujah. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Can I tell you something, folks? You cannot use, well, I'm just an old sinner, as an excuse for not doing what God had have you to do. You cannot use, well, nobody's perfect. You cannot use that. God is coming against that, and he's coming against that full force because he's saying, no, this is not my kingdom. You're gonna see my kingdom in the earth, and it looks like somebody. How many say amen to that? Amen. I was telling you, it looks like somebody. What does this kingdom look like? It looks like Jesus. Amen. Jesus gave us the only view of what this kingdom looks like, so you better be looking at Jesus. Is that okay? And as you look at him, you're going to see things you've never seen before. You're going to hear things you've never heard before. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But he shows them to us by what? Not by power, but by my spirit. He shows them to us by his spirit. Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Woo, God. Hallelujah. I'm hoping that every one of you go home and, you know, you think we had a lot of folks up here talking today? Come on. Next week, Pastor John's preaching. He can preach. Come on. The microphone is here that you might pour water on the people. Is that okay? Amen. And some of you are so hesitant, won't do it. And God says, it's going to happen. Amen. Just step up there and start talking. You'll see it. It will begin to flow. Yes. It will flow. How many say amen? How many want to be flowing with the Holy Ghost? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Joel says in chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, here it says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Your sons and your daughters shall what?
Prophesy.
Hallelujah. Your old man. How many old men in here? Don't raise your hand. I don't want anybody. There's not an old one in here. Your old man shall dream dreams. We're all visionaries, right? It says, your old man shall dream, and your young man shall see vision. Young men and women. Amen. Looking for a vision. Are you looking for, what are you looking for today? What is it that you're looking for? Are you looking for, are you looking for a vaccine?
No.
Come on, man. He's already given you a vaccine. It's called the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is a vaccine. I will tell you that. Hallelujah. What are you looking? Are you looking for something to trust? Are you looking for the government to trust? Woo, come on, man. Hallelujah. Like I said before, God will come against every foundation. He's going to attack every foundation that you have in your life. Oh, don't worry about those around you. Forget them. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, well, what about Brother Bob? What about Brother June? Oh, I'm just making up names. Is there a Bob in here? No, good. I'm just making up names. But what about them? What about them? Jesus even told, remember? Jesus even told Peter, hey, what does that have to do with you? Amen. We got to see about us. Amen?
Amen.
You are part of the kingdom of God. You're part of the body of Christ. God needs you to hear what he's saying to you. Why would you go anywhere but your closet to find out anything? Why do you drive miles and miles to go let Benny Hinn lay hands on you? You got the Holy Ghost in your... See, there needs to be an understanding of what God is doing in the world today. You're part of it. Hallelujah. If you're not hearing God, go after him. Hear him. Forget Henry. Go after him. Henry can't do nothing for you. All I am is a mouthpiece for the kingdom of God. That's all I am. That's all I can do. I don't boast of anything else. I don't want to do anything else. I just want to speak what God wants me to speak.
Hallelujah.
And I know that I know that God is breaking forth upon his church all over the globe, all over. And people are going into their closets and they're finding out what God has to say to them personally. I was reading a book years ago, and I loved this book that I was reading. I don't know who the author is, because I lost the book. We were in California at a hotel, and when I left, the book stayed in the hotel, and man, I was so forlorn. you dummy, man. Guys, I can't believe I left that book there. We were halfway back to Tucson by that time. But I do remember the name. The name of the book was this, The Unshakable Kingdom and the Unchanging Person. Would you stand? The Unshakable Kingdom and the Unchanging Person. Folks, there's only two things we need to be looking for. Number one, we need to look for God. We need to look for Jesus. We need to be going after Jesus for his will. Let me say amen.
Amen.
And then as we go after Jesus, we begin to look at this kingdom that he's bringing into the earth. It's unshakable. He will shake your foundation to make sure your foundation begins to get strong and connects with his foundation. You are designed to look like Jesus. The Apostle Paul said it this way, till Christ be formed in you. This is the goal that the Holy Spirit has been charged to bring the church to, that we might look like Jesus. Can you imagine what it would look like if everyone was doing the works of Jesus and more, because Jesus said, you will do more than this? Can you imagine what it would look like if every one of the body of Christ is doing that which the Father has told them to do? I was looking at a scripture in 2 Corinthians, and Paul said this. He told the Corinthians, I asked you to help, but what I loved about before you went to help, you went and sought God, and you came to me with the will of God. You see, you got to find out what God's will is for you, and then you go do what that is.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen.
God loves you.
Yes.
He loves the kingdom on the earth. He said to pray it that way. And folks, I'm going to say this to you. He's bringing it. And he's going to bring it through the believers.
Amen.
And the world is going to see something they've never seen before.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. You will see healings. You will see the things of the kingdom. You'll see the government actually be placed upon his shoulders. The people of the world will place this on his shoulders. And God, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you this morning for your word. Father, I pray that everyone that heard the word this morning, that there would be something that would draw each and every one closer to you. It could be a little here, it could be a little there. Father God, I pray, God, that if there's somebody in the house that doesn't know you, they've never given their heart totally and completely to you, Father. I just pray, Father God, that Holy Spirit, you would take the words that they heard today, that you have been speaking to them, and bring that change. Father, we were all lost. We were all amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We were all, I once was lost, but now I'm fine. Was blind, and now I see. Father, I thank you. Touch every heart, Father. Holy Spirit, do your work. It is you that does the work. We cannot boast. We cannot proclaim our involvement because it's only you, Father. So, body of Christ, I pray over you this morning. Be strengthened by the word of God. Be strengthened by God's word. Let God's word produce gates around you. Let it be a fortress around you because of the Spirit of God that is speaking to your heart and building you today. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Thank you for coming to church this morning. God bless you all this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.